You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Gareth Topham, John Babb and John Budden in the studio. We've got National Hunt Racing from Carlisle and Kempton, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapeter at Newcastle. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Will Smith. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Good man. This must be the first podcast we've done together for... 6 months or so.
It probably is, yeah. I spent last winter in the sunnier climes of Sydney.
Can't be bad.
Well, it was good. I'm glad to be back, though. I'm glad to be back. The racing is my calling, so I managed to miss a lot of it last winter, and getting back into it now is good. It soothes the soul.
You'd be more of a jumpsman anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I definitely am, yeah. So that's why it was particularly galling to miss last winter, really, so... I had to struggle through the flat action this summer, and we're now on to the proper stuff.
Yeah, yes. We've got some jumps news to talk about in just a moment or two, but before we get stuck into that, we had the November handicap at Doncaster on Saturday, then we had Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup on Saturday evening, so kind of the end of the flat season. European success over at the Breeders' Cup as well. So Michael Stout had a winner with Queen's Trust and yes. Highland Reel for Aidan O'Brien as well. So.
Yeah, it showed the benefits of... cherry picking targets, obviously very, very valuable targets. Breeders' Cup is one of the most the richest race meetings running the whole calendar, so I think more and more European trainers are realizing the benefit of actually targeting a race there and working everything back from that. It probably hasn't been the case at various stages in the past, so obviously you've got the likes of Arc Day and Champions Day over here, but I think certainly, well, in the case of Queen's Trust and also Highland Reel, I'm sure that has been their target from a long, long way out. Queen's Trust wanted a really strong run, 10 furlong race, and that's exactly what she got, and she produced a career best performance on the back of it. And in the same sort of fashion, Highland Reel, I'm sure, had been targeted at that race from a long, long way out. I mean, he's won in Hong Kong on fast ground, and he's won in America before on fast ground at Saratoga, I think he'd won before. So he clearly... that was the day for him, and Aidan O'Brien, if ever there's a trainer to get one right for the day, then he is the man.
Yeah. I watched quite a bit of the Breeders' Cup coverage for free, actually, on Betting TV, a little bit of a shameless plug there. but I watched the Classic as well, and I don't always buy into American racing, but California Chrome is a bit of a superstar, isn't he?
Yes.
We know plenty about him over here as well. And in the build-up, there was a lot of talk about the three-year-old Arrogate being a potential superstar. And I know you didn't see the race, but what a race it was.
I have seen it on, who was it, Luke Elder, I think, posted a clip of him in the stands. He was at about the 2 furlong pole, I think, and it showed him, or those two, whizzing past and everything else about 15 lengths in their wake. So, look, Arrogate, before the race, Arrogate had the only horse going into that race that had run a sub-2-minute 10-furlong race. Yeah. So, in terms of actual how fast you run, he was the fastest horse going into the race. Obviously, California Chrome has done what he has done previously, and he was the one to beat, and Arrogate did.
He did. did it well as well. Mike Smith was niggling him on the turn for home. Such is the cruising speed of California Chrome.
Yes.
But he's got such a heart, Arrogate. He just kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
So that was good. Yeah. So that's the flat stuff really done and dusted. We've got the open meeting coming up at Cheltenham in just, less than a week's time now. And I just want a quick chat about the Bet Victor Gold Cup. Frode on the 6-1 market leader. We saw him in action on Saturday.
We did, yeah, and probably rightly so. He's been clipped into outright favoritism for the race. He has the look of a chaser, and he jumps fences well. He obviously jumping won him the race at Wincanton on Saturday. Obviously, the Rising Stars race there, where both other rivals failed to finish. I wonder whether, obviously, the penalty for going up for winning that race, I know that Harry Cobden is going to keep the ride, so he effectively the £5 penalty, but Harry Cobden is allowed to claim in the race, so he takes the £3 off. So effectively, he's only £2 higher, and he might just sneak in at the bottom of the race. I just wonder whether he's quite street smart enough. I know he comes into it in form, he comes into it fit, but this is a race that connections of other horses will target from months in advance. And I know Paul Nicholls has targeted him at this race, but he's had to go and try and win a race to get him into it.
Yeah.
So I know people will say that he didn't have a huge test in the race at Wincanton, but it's still a race. It's still going to the racecourse. It's everything that goes with it. And just 7 days later, he's got to come out and win a very, very competitive handicap.
Yeah, I'll just spin through the betting. If we get these horses turning up, it'll be a real good renewal. Frodon 6-1, 7-1 for more of that. Really looking forward to him back out this year. Double Shuffle is 10-1 also for Gardler Victoire. Takanasu is another one at 10-1, 12-1 for Irish Cavalier. Cadabile is 14, Sizing Platinum 14, 16s for Art Moresque and Asdemi. ASO another one at 16-1 with Bouvriel, and in fact there's a whole host of these at 16-1. Bristol Demai, Killer Crow, King's Odyssey, Sapphire de Rur, 20-1 bar those. For me, I'm really interested in more of that. He's obviously got a great record at Cheltenham, a world hurdle winner. He seems to have taken to fences pretty well. Broke a blood vessel, didn't he, in the RSA? So maybe put a little bit of a line through that. I think he could be really exciting this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was still good enough to finish third, obviously, to Black Lion. I mean, that's okay for him. Black Lion has come out and run a decent race in the Charlie Hall. Year in, year out, we see the RSA as being a race that really tests horses' resolve, and the ones that actually come through it and go on to be better racehorses are really tough, hardy, sound racehorses. Just wonder with more of that whether, obviously breaking blood vessels in that. John Joe O'Neill's stable isn't firing at the moment. No. I know that's always a worry to say that, because what a lot of trainers will do, particularly in light of the weather we've had, is that they'll have targeted horses at this meeting, so they'll be fit and ready for this meeting, and whatever goes before that almost doesn't really matter. It's just a lead up to it. So, but as 6-1 Frodon, 7-1 more of that, the two market leaders, I think there's reasons to sort of pass them over really and try and look for something with a bit more value. So it's just what that value is. I think after Aintree on Saturday, those of you that saw Cad de Burley win the Potemps qualifier there, he won it in the style of a horse who is in cracking form. It's just a case of whether Paul Nicholls is going to target him at this. I mean, obviously with Frodon, he's been targeting him at it, and he's willing to take him out 7 days later. It's whether he wants Cad de Burley to do the same thing. Of course, he won the race 2 years ago. He won it off a mark of 1.43. He's here off 1.46, so he should have a good chance if he comes out again. He's a bit of a bigger price. Takandasoy would be interesting, although again, sort of similar comments apply with John Joe O'Neill, really. You'd like to see him in a bit better form, but he had an eye-catching race at Chepstow in the Silver Trophy there. So it's a market at the moment, which is, the prices suggest there should be a nice each-way bet in there. There's not one horse that has been sort of steamed into and finds itself at the head. It's probably a race where I'll have a look at things, pretty much when the declarations come out. If it got really wet, which I don't know forecast wise, I'm not a weatherman, but I don't think it's going to happen. King's Odyssey for Evan Williams would be very, very interesting. So yeah, check your weather forecast and get your brolly out.
Do a rain dance. There's obviously a bit of water to go under the bridge before we get to that, so we'll revisit that later on in the week. Bit of news about the RSA as well. We've seen a horse that's prominent in the RSA betting in action on Sunday, didn't we? In the shape of Alpha De Zobo. Were you impressed?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Mouse Morris is a trainer that everyone should know by now. Whatever they do through the depths of winter, it doesn't really matter. I mean, all that matters is when you pitch up on that first Tuesday or second Tuesday, the morning in Cheltenham. And they've stepped off the horse box and suddenly they look $1 million and fit and well. And look, Alpha De Zobo, I'm sure what he's doing now while the ground is still good and in his favour, he's getting him out and he's getting some experience into him, and he did really what he had to do. He won't be anywhere near fully fit by any stretch of the imagination. Once you know, if it gets into the depths of winter, then he might be put away for a bit and then brought back once the sunshine comes out and get that on his back and let him flourish. But I do think that, obviously, with Thistlecrack going, presumably all things equal, going the Gold Cup route, then Alphadès Abeau is the standout candidate. I mean, he was second in last year's World Hurdle. The rest were nowhere. And he's had, you know, three races over fences now, and he's got better with each one and looked to benefit from the experience. And he loves Cheltenham. So, and he's trained by a master trainer at targeting races. So he is the right favourite.
Yeah, 8-1 in the market at the moment. Alphadès Abeau, anything else on your mind, Will, before we move on to Monday stuff?
In the RSA or other markets?
Anything you want.
Ooh, that's interesting. The fixed brush hurdle at Haydock the weekend after... after next run, I think it's two weekends time. Dan Skelton, again, and talk about target trainers. He excels at it. He won the race last year, and I think his two Tafts, who won a sort of nothing novice hurdle really at Carlisle last time out, he's obviously thought that I need to get a run into him, and he'll target him at that race. And I think when the market comes up for that, he'll be a good bet.
All right, good stuff. Put that in your notebooks then. Let's move on to Monday's action. We've got four races coming up there. We're going to look at two races at Kempton, one from Carlisle and one from Newcastle. And we'll get Will's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Monday's action. We'll go through these in chronological order, starting in the 1:30 at Kempton Park. This is a Novices Limited Handicap Chaser, Class 4 event, over 2.25 miles. We've got a field of five to go to post here, Will. And we'll start with Little Pop, if we may, has won his two of his last three starts and got off the mark over fences last time.
Yes, that's right. It was his first chase run after going back to hurdles when he'd had a sort of abortive chase campaign. This was much, much better. He... one of those Nigel Twist and Davies horses that comes out in October and looks as if they're fit and ready to run for their life. And he won it well. He's going to have to prove himself a little bit better. I mean, he was beating rivals there that are essentially summer jumpers, and they were rated, you know, 100 and below. So he's got a better class of rival to come up against. There's a great quote that from Nigel Twist and Davies after that race. He says that Sam never thinks he is as good as he is, but he has proved him wrong today, which is fascinating. They must have had a real sort of battle over this horse, where Nigel thinks he could be the next 2 mile star, and Sam just gets off and goes, no, he's no good. But he was good enough to win that race. I don't think he'll be good enough to win this race.
Okay, what do you think wins it?
Well, I think it's a toss up between Old Grangewood and Robert Starr. Now, Old Grangewood is a big, real strapping chaser. The ownership he's in, obviously, they're quite famous colours, the Giles colours. He's gone up to Scotland once and up to Carlisle as well. It's very close to Scotland. Obviously, the owners are based in Scotland. And I think he went up to Carlisle last time on his seasonal debut. It was still over hurdles. I think he was up there so the owners could see him. He's down now into a race. Good ground. 2 miles two round Kempton should be fine. This is his race now. He jumped Carlisle as if the fences would be no problem. And the slight step up in trip on better ground will be absolutely his thing. I think he's going to be a horse that in time takes higher order in a few staying handicaps. But for now, he looks to have a good chance of making a nice winning chase debut. I do think Robert Starr is a danger. He's been campaigned over 3 miles, but he's stepping all the way back in trip now, which is interesting for a horse that is really stoutly bred. But I just wonder whether Old Grangewood might have a little bit too much pace for him.
Old Grangewood is the selection for Will then in the 1:30. On to the 3:05 at Kempton next. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, a field of 7 to go to post for this. And we've got some inform runners in here, those that we've seen recently, Legal Royal and Parish Business. Those that we haven't seen so recently, You Never Call and Floresco, arrive in winning form. So yeah. or with a one next to their name at least.
Yes, they do. It's one of them. I mean, it's a potent qualifier, so... It's obviously with a view, if you finish in the top six, you get in or you qualify for the final of the race in March. Now, obviously with 7 runners in here, there's going to be one of them that misses out on qualification. But equally, looking at the way the Potemps race shapes up in March now, the bottom rating to get into that race is getting higher and higher each year. So I think that if Connections do want to get into that race, then given the top weight is 135 here, they might have to squeeze up a few pounds. And certainly those at the bottom, the likes of Duke Street, Legla Royal, Floresco, Parish Business, they're going to have to run very, very well or win in this kind of race. So often you look towards the bottom of these kind of races, really, because that's who are going to be the ones who are all out to try and get a one by their name for this particular assignment. And two of them come into it in, well, all three of them at the bottom come into it in great form, but two of them, Legla Royal and Parish Business, have had a run, both won. They look to have leading claims. Dan Skelton has acquired Legla Royal, and he won a Shade Cosley at Market Raisin last time. I think there was a lot went wrong for him in that race, and I think there could be a little bit more to come at these kind of staying trips. Kempton will suit him fine too, and Parish Business equally has the claim to go very, very well. I just think that Fontwell win last time, he's gone up £8 for that. I think essentially he's got the make and the scope of a chaser, and I think that he might just be a little bit too big over his hurdles around Kempton in a slightly better class of race, and he might just get done for a little bit of toe. But he's got quite a nice chase mark, 1-2-4 Parish Business, whereas his hurdle mark is 1-2-8. So if he does run well here and then go back over fences, he might be one to be interested in. But for this particular assignment, I think it's Dan Skelton's Legla Royal.
Legla Royal for Will then in the 3:05. Bit of action on the flat next, or on the all-weather at least, the 3:15 at Newcastle, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. We've got a field of 13 for this one. Start with the Resdev Way, if we may. Won three of his last four starts over this course and distance as well, so the Tapita will hold no terrors for him. He is going up in the weights though, Will.
He is, but he's absolutely worth going up in the weights. I mean, he started off a mark of 50 when he first raced over this course and distance back on the 29th of August, and he's now off 76, so that's nearly 2 stone higher. Now, I think there's every reason to believe he could even squeeze up a little bit more. The way he won last time, you look at the result, and it's one of those where if you just look at the race card and the results in the Racing Post the day after, and he's won by 3/4 of a length from a horse rated 61, and he's got other 60 rated horses around him, and you think, oh, well, he's been all out, and he's not quite, you know, he shouldn't be worth the rise that he has been lumped with, up to 76 from 67, £9. But the way he went through that race and the way he went clear with a click of the fingers about 2 or 3 furlongs out, he suddenly, it was like he'd just been dropped into the race, and he sprinted about 10 lengths clear. And Newcastle, the Tapita there is working out to be a kind of surface that horses either thrive on it or they don't, which is obvious. I mean, Tapita is the same the world over in that respect, but very much a sort of fair galloping track. And if you're ahead of the handicapper, there's nothing to sort of worry you. It's not one of those courses where you can get caught in traffic because you've got big, long, open straights. And if you get a no-nonsense, uncomplicated ride, then you can, if you're the best, you are the best. And I think the Resdev Way could still take higher orders. I know £9 is a harsh hike, and it's unoriginal, but I don't see much in here to worry him, really.
Right, so the Resdev Way then for Will in the 3:15 at Newcastle, and we finish off in the 3:25 at Carlisle, a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, 7 of them to go to post here. Will, who do you think comes home in from?
Yeah, well, it's interesting this, because much will depend on how much rain they are currently getting at Carlisle. There's been a bit of rain around today, and I think there might be a little bit overnight. So a lot of these in here, Spanish Fleet, Tick and a Mickey, Palm Grey, they'd all love a real slog. They'd all love it soft. And I think if it was soft enough, Spanish Fleet would be an interesting horse, having his second start for George Bewley, having joined from John Wade. He ran a good race behind Tick and a Mickey, obviously reopposing here last time. That was on his second chase start. He was much, much better than his first chase start, where he was with John Wade. And it's an interesting angle, actually, fully. I think a lot of John Wade horses have gone elsewhere, and George Bewley has picked up a fair few, and he seems to be doing quite well with them. It's just very much dependent on the weather. If it does bucket it down and it's soft, then I'm going to go with Spanish Fleet. But if you know, it's just mere little showers and the ground is as advertised, which is currently good to soft in places, then I think A Million Times has a good chance to regain the winning thread. Won 4 in a row and then just came up slightly wanting last time at Ayr behind Indian Temple, but I think this race might well suit him that little bit more. And Yeah, it's an interesting selection from me, I know, depending on how much it rains. but I really think it is the case.
Okay, well, a couple of ways to consider the rest then. If there's rain, it's Spanish Flea, and if there isn't, a million times.
Yeah. We'll say if it's good to soft or better, yeah. A million times. So if it's good to soft, I'd split stakes on the two. Okay, if it's good to soft, good in places, we'll go or better a million times. If it's good to soft, soft in places or worse, Spanish Fleet. How about that?
Right, good. So check the weather and check the going at Carlisle before you follow Will in there. Good stuff, Will. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary before you go. Just confirm your selections, if you like, for the Monday for us.
Yep, so Kempton, the 130, the 2 mile 2 novice limited handicap chase here, I think can go the way of Dan Skelton's Old Grangewood on his chasing debut. And the 305, the ever-interesting Potemps qualifier, I think can go the way of Dan Skelton again, L'Aigle Royale down the bottom. And then up to the Toon, Newcastle, the mile and four handicap on the Tapeter up there, Resdev Way, I think can win again. I think he's in great form and there's every reason to believe he's a bit better than he was last time. And Carlisle, across to the west, bit of a rain proviso on this one. Spanish Fleet, if it's wet, a million times if it's dry.
Superb, good work, Will. Pleasure to see you again. Good luck and enjoy Monday.
Thank you.
There you go, the thoughts of Will Smith on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50 p.m. Gareth Topham, John Babb and John Budden and the team in the studio. Carlisle and Kempton are the two meetings over the obstacles. We've got Newcastle on the all-weather Tapeter as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.